3, 2, 1.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Note to broadcasters, always turn your microphone on. It's always really, really important when you're going to do a show to turn this thing on.
Is that in your textbook? Is that in your textbook that you're selling?
Yes, it is. While I'm checking my sound, let me try the jingle here and see. There it is. I'm ready.
Love it.
Woo! Hi there. Oh, jingles. Is there anything better than radio jingles, Rob Spiewak, huh?
Can you imagine me as a 10-year-old with a cassette deck trying to tape them off the radio?
Unbelievable. First time I ever played a jingle on the radio was probably the greatest moment for me, knowing, hey, I'm doing it. And the
do you
real
remember
jingles,
what it was?
Because no, because it was WOHN in Herndon, which was my first commercial station.
Great powerhouse.
And I don't know if they even had them. You know, I just.
Well, what about your first jingle with your name in it?
When was that? That was probably at WAVA.
And can
that
I
was probably at WAVA?
Bring up what may or may not be a sore point. Is the fact that for years and years your name was mispronounced in all the WAVA jingles.
Don Geronimo and Michael Mira.
Mira. And listen,
they used AI.
No, I engineered.
There was no AI back then. We didn't even have cell phones back then.
I was actually able to listen in on the session and, like, you know, hear when they were recording the second batch of jingles for the show.
Yes.
And they put, like, punched me into the phone line. I wish I had recorded it because they did a gag. First, I did correct the pronunciation of your name, and they re-sang it. But they did a gag when they got to my name. They sang it entirely out of key, just
really?
As a joke, and it was hilarious.
I want to get an update. Rob Spiewak, who sounds better today than he did yesterday, and he sounded pretty good today. I believe that I have to give Rob Spiewak the nod in recovery over my son, who is now on his third day of not going to school because he's just dragging.
He's not
perfectly
pushing
out of the woods.
Is it?
Well, he had a physical yesterday for his golf team, and they combined it with the the wellness check on all the other stuff he's dealing with. And he has been, he has been fever free, but unfortunately he's just, he doesn't fake it. He really doesn't fake it. He wants to be up and running. And he was just achy, had to run out and get him Tylenol. And
that's sad. I'm sorry,
you know, as I wrote down, I am not a good caregiver, especially when he can kill me. That's that's where
I am. Because you're worried of his disease, his secret disease.
I have been living in just a very understated state of concern over my own situation, because I am in that high risk.
You have to be your
category.
Own advocate, Mike.
And
you do.
Yeah, I and by the way, I printed this out today. Florida is aiming to become the first U.S. state to cancel all of its vaccine mandates.
You know, I also heard, Mike.
A little extreme there.
Yeah. That guy,
Governor DeSantis is also trying to push something through legislation. He's making it illegal to look both ways before you cross the street.
What they're doing, it is a steady Florida procedure to thin the herd.
Yeah.
They're trying to thin the herd.
For years, didn't you Floridians do that on your own?
Yeah, we did. I think we're still good at it,
to be honest. Yeah, I think you are,
I'm hopeful it's to scare the New Yorkers away. Don't even come down here anymore. Just
that's,
stay
you
up
know
there.
What? Spoken like a true Floridian that would say, I remember coming down here years and years and years ago, going into a diner, having breakfast, and the lady said, oh, excuse me, the waitress had a little tiny little coffee. She goes, sorry, I think I got the northern vapors, talking about the people from the north that come down here.
Wow, what a dick.
Well, it was a lady. It's kind of weird to call a lady a dick.
A lady could be a dick if she acts like that.
Let me finish here. So it says, Florida aiming to become the first U.S. state to cancel all of its vaccine mandates, many of which require children to get jabs against disease like polio. Remember polio?
I can't believe the fact. I mean, I beat it, and I'm glad I did. But
yeah, yeah.
Eliminated it.
It was great though, with your schoolmates when they would have you in the backyard running until your braces fell off.
Well, we're gonna see Rob's disease back, scarlet fever.
Scarlet fever. That's right.
And also, don't forget, Mike, all of the Rob Mob collecting dimes.
Yes, for
polio.
You. These diseases, like polio, were required in order to attend public schools. The state's top health official, Florida Surgeon General Joseph Labubu.
That's not his name.
It's Ladapo. Ladapo.
Are you sure he doesn't have a middle name that's like Billy Joe?
That's his middle name.
I understand.
Thank you. He likened the mandates to slavery. And I believe he is an African American. So he announced the plans. Here's his quote. "Who am I to tell you what your child should put in your body?" He said. "I don't have that right. Your body is a gift from God." Florida officials did not give a timeline or detail on ending the mandates. Several may only be repealed through a vote by the Republican-led legislature, while others can be scrapped by the state health department.
But let me say this to Billy Joe BS or whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. It's not just about what you're doing to yourself. It's putting others at risk, too.
That doesn't matter down here. It doesn't.
I understand. Mm-hmm. I don't care for that, by the way. I don't think that's smart legislation.
So the big question when my son went to his doctor's appointment yesterday, thinking of his welfare, but he's young and they don't get it as bad as adults do. And I said to my wife, when you have the doctor, ask the amount of time. You know, this thing is floating
around.
Sure. And, of course, nobody knows the definitive answer to that one, apparently. Mm. That's one that nobody really knows what the deal is with.
Well,
so,
Tuesday for me was day 5. And it was a big day for me. You heard how I sounded when I woke up that day because I put that video to you guys. But the next day, it was, I won't say the flip of a switch, but it was pretty sudden the way my voice came back and became more reliable.
I would not have been totally surprised if you weren't here this week. That's how I thought you were heading.
That's how I was preparing.
Did you get a headache at all? Did you get a real heavy duty headache?
I've had a headache since Thursday. Still
okay. Because he's got, that's what my son's got. He's got
It's a dull one. It's not like a hold your head and, you know, cry on the sofa guy, but it's definitely there.
Now,
so I've been taking Tylenol for that.
I saw a report that our good friends out in Northern California, in the Sacramento area, are going through a bit of a spike out there as well. And, it's just it's uncertain times. I get extraordinarily angry when I read about these vaccines and the challenges that somebody who wants to get one, like me, I'm a big believer in them, can't do it. And that's frustrating to me. Even, even down here, there are states where if you're 65 and older, you can go in and your drugstore and get them.
Right.
But my state is not one of them. As a matter of fact, my state is probably the hardest state to do this. So the next step will be probably a phone call to my provider, who's a very cool guy who I've known for multiple years. And we'll see what happens.
Have you been to the COVID pusher?
No, I don't want to buy that. You know, they're saying you get if they're prohibited, you get them. What do they call them? Off label? I don't want that. That's not how I buy my vaccines. It's not how I buy my jewelry.
But I was wondering if you even checked with Huggy Bear to see if he had one.
Go down to the bad section of town.
Yeah, the bad section of Boca Raton.
Where they sell the drugs.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. So to make matters worse, I'm going yesterday. While my son was at the doctor, I decided I'd take part in a little more self-care and get my hair cut.
Oh, that's why nice, not? Mike.
Went to see my buddy, Kevin. And by the way, if you want to use my barber, Kevin, down here in Fort Myers, if Kevin happens to be sitting in the window of the barber shop when I arrive, he's very easy to spot because his hair starts over here and it ends over here. He is the I believe the barber with the most unkempt hair you would ever have, and he's become a buddy. I like Kevin a lot.
Is he the only barber in your shop?
No.
Because there's an old joke. If you go into a barber shop with two barbers, go to the one with the bad haircut.
Okay.
Because that guy was cut by the other guy. So you want to go to the guy that has the bad haircut.
And if you're going to get a household project done, look for the old truck.
Exactly.
Look for the old work truck.
And I understand.
So here it is. I go get my haircut, and Kevin and I are having a really nice
show. Does it have a cute name or anything like Snips?
No, it's Barber Crew. I'll give them a plug. Barber Crew in Fort Myers. They're easy to find. They might be a chain. I'm not sure if they're a franchise or not.
Okay.
The guy that owns the joint is a guy named Courtney, and he's a and the thing is,
it's a girl's name.
It's don't tell that to you. if you saw Courtney, you wouldn't say that to his face, pal.
You're right. Absolutely right. We discussed yesterday, Mike. It's great to have anonymity.
So, Courtney cuts hair down there. CeeLo cuts my kid's hair. Kevin cuts my hair, and we're always chatting about stuff. And he's he's a good guy, cool guy. We like watches. I was showing him my Moddies, which are my favorite kind of wine. Love to get them as an advertiser.
Have you talked about Moddies before?
Have I talked about Moddies?
Yeah. Okay, just checking.
Seikos and make them look better.
I remember. Well, that's a simple explanation. What it is really
taking a simple show.
Well, it's Seikos, and they make them look like they give them all the cases and the accoutrement that would be on a much more expensive design
of
a watch. It's not a clones. Are the fake ones from Asia that put the label of the big expensive makers. They don't do this with Moddies.
This Moddies is like the equivalent of the 1970s when people would buy a Volkswagen Beetle and put a Rolls-Royce hood on it. Do you remember that sort of where they would put like different parts of different cars to make a Volkswagen Beetle more
expensive? I don't know if I do this, Josh, if we can have a little fun with this, because isn't fun the best thing to have?
Always.
I'm gonna hold this up, and I'm gonna zoom in on on the Moddy here. I'll hold it up here. There we go.
Is it a green face?
Yeah,
pretty. So I like
seen that already. And then if you can bring up it would be Patek Philippe Nautilus.
And that's of course the submarine from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Now that's mustache shot. I think you need to push the go in further on the because you need to make that be the primary part of your shot because it's still focusing on your nose.
Is that a blue face?
No, it's green.
Green.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is. Okay. That is, Mike, I'm not a watch guy like you, but that is a good looking watch.
Isn't it? And
yeah.
It is not, I could not afford a Patek. They're like, some of them are like $100,000.
The green. The green Patek that looks just like that one is only $219,000.
Wow.
Do we have a pick?
We have.
The pick costs $1,000.
Let's see.
Mike, actually, I think you've rubbed off on me because when I was at the height of my illness Sunday night watching the telethon and coughing, I kept noticing how small Jerry's watches are. He wears like a lady's watch, and it's really troubling. Yet, Mike, they look the same. That's great.
They're
so that's
kind of
and if you'll know, get it back here. I don't know if you can see the Seiko, and the fun of the Moddy is that I like it. You can get it with the with or without. You can get a cheese with or a cheese without. You can get it with or without the Seiko on it because it's inside the watch.
Could you get something instead of Seiko put on it?
Oh, you're cracking and popping again, Rob, unfortunately.
Oh, no. Okay, I'll be back in a moment.
Thank you.
I believe we've talked before that you cannot get it custom. You cannot get it to say the Omera.
Well, I wanted it to say Sroka.
Thank you. Every day. It's a question of, I like the idea if somebody was a watch person and saw this and they said, is that a, and then I hold it up and said, nope, It's a Seiko. Yep. That's the fun part.
No, the fun is that you've got the proper label on there, so you're not trying to hide it.
Exactly.
It's like, no, it's beautiful.
That's the difference. Now, I've had a fake one before. I've had a fake Rolex before,
right.
And it was horrible. It was just, I mean, it was super bad. There are Rolexes they make, and someday we'll get a watch person on to come on the show. I'll grab a guy from a place down here called Exquisite Timepieces to talk watches, because these products are subject to a tremendous amount of hanky-panky when it comes to manufacture and, you know, putting the movement of the watches, the mechanics that go inside of it that cause the automatic watch to tell time, to work the mechanism. And they can be played with all the time, and it's a fun world to talk about. I'm fascinated by it. One thing I've learned with my little foray into Mottis is even if, you know, I won the Powerball, I'm not sure I would dive into the world of high-end watches anymore, because once you wear one, everything is the same.
Of course you would. You would figure it out that it's an investment, because you know what? In a year, they're going to be worth more than they are now.
Outside of the watches, can we get back to Kevin?
All right. There he is. That's my man. He made it on the show. I got to tell him.
I got to tell
him he's on the show.
That's definitely the guy you choose when you walk in a barbershop.
He's the best. What a great dude. He is such a nice guy.
Selfie with the iPhone. Does he keep his iPhone in his beard?
That's got to be recent too, because he just got back with his girlfriend from vacation where they went whitewater rafting, and can you imagine him out there with that big mop out there? It's just hysterical. It makes me laugh every time I see him. I come to the barbershop yesterday and I look in the window and it's just hair taking up the entire window. And I was like, you know, boy, and I walk in and I bust his balls like right out. I said, well, you're hard to spot. You know, I said, I'd recognize that mop anywhere. And it's just, I delight in the irony of having a bartender with hair that looks like that.
Yeah,
and
barber too.
Yeah. And so the haircut
you going to?
The barber crew is a great, great joint. Been going there for a long time. As I'm walking out, you know, I'm working the cinnamon gum, and
trademark.
It's you know, I love me the cinnamon gum, and suddenly I take a really good chew on the left side, and I seriously felt like something exploded in my mouth. I thought like a molar had disintegrated or something. You know, when something happens with dental work, you immediately you don't know what's going on. You know something's wrong.
Well, and you usually can't pinpoint it. Yeah,
and usually it's when you're biting into something like hard. You know, like a seed or you're eating ball bearing. What's that?
Popcorn's the one that'll catch me.
Popcorn,
because you'll get a kernel.
And I go, boom, and I go, oh my God, what was that? Holy mackerel.
Holy mackerel.
And what happened was the crown that was on a molar that was, hello, you have lost your crown. A crown that apparently, from the looks of it, has been in my mouth since the Carter administration.
A crown?
The crown that has royally sat on the top of my tooth for many a moon. Now, I couldn't tell you exactly when the crown was applied, but from the look of it, it seems like, from the look of not only the crown, but the tooth under it.
Oh, it, no.
It looks like perhaps the crown has been there since days of old.
About crown, I've never had one.
John Adams is what you should think, yes.
I'm curious, that's when they take a tooth and sort of grind it down and then put a hat on it, right?
Yeah, because you've never had a crown.
I never have.
Have you ever had a cavity?
Oh, a few, yes.
Okay, all right. So if you have bad teeth, bad teeth. I take good care of my teeth.
I think I have three or four crowns.
Crowns are used when a filling. Sometimes you can get a root canal and then they'll put a crown on it. That's what they do. A crown is to save the tooth. And I think that this molar in the back, due to constant chewing, was.
Maybe it was just daily use that wore it out.
It's used to save a tooth. You know?
Okay, I understand.
And by the way, do you not have crowns because you have healthy teeth or because you've neglected your mouth for so long?
Well, that's very, very passive aggressive and nice of you to ask. I never had a cavity.
I know your dentist. I know Dr. Dana.
I didn't have a cavity until I was well into my 40s, actually.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Did you, did you always
missing teeth?
No, I'm missing no teeth. I'm not missing a tooth. My teeth are, the bottom are a little crooked. But other than that,
I can't believe you've never had cavities with the period of time in your life
I've had cavities since then.
Oh, you have?
Remember, after the pandemic, I'm not trying to say I'm better than anybody. After the pandemic, they found, I think, 7 cavities. Of course, I hadn't been to the dentist in like 5 years. But before
Well, you're lucky you didn't have to have a crown.
Thank you.
Because they're expensive. Mm-hmm. And so I find it. And I haven't, you know, thank God I did. Can you turn that up a little bit? Thank God I did not swallow my crown. My crown was somewhere in my mouth, and I fished it out, and I looked at it, and it appeared to be some sort of silver material that had been enhanced with a porcelain enamel, as though the crown was not put on properly, probably by your guy up in Fairfax.
It's not a contest, Mike, and I don't think if it has any part of metal in it, it was with him. He's past that era. This might be like Dr. Yankum up in Connecticut that used
Dr.
mercury.
Dr. Novi. That was our dentist. Our dentist's name was Dr. Novi.
My dad has a dentist named Dr. Novik, which is even better.
Well, Novi probably the same derivative, right?
I would think so.
So I've got the crown, and then very shortly thereafter. Now, at this particular point, I am a big believer in not texting and driving. Do not text and drive. I would like to say that based on my
urgency. Oh, Mike, this just
urgency,
Governor DeSantis is now requiring texting and driving.
That is it. I want you to run with that bit forever. That's
okay.
Good. Based on my urgency of having this, needing this dental work, I immediately got on the phone as soon as I could, trying to locate my my dentist. But that did not preclude me from driving. So I was, I guess I was kind of all over the road. Finally reached the dentist.
Yep.
And I said, this is one of your worst patients. And what's the name? Click, 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 click. Oh, I see you haven't been here in 2 years. And
ooh.
I'm like, yeah, because I blew him off last year. I remember that for my. And as it turns out, this morning they had an opening where she said, so do you have the crown? I said, yes, you do. Oh, that's good. And I said, you know, after the fact, I said, yeah, that's good too. Now, am I concerned that they're going to say, you need to have the whole thing redone? No, I'm hoping they just glue the crown back on.
Right.
But you know, it's a money-making enterprise. And
you said yourself it looked like a pretty ancient crown.
Very ancient.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, okay, well, you can come in. We'll do your cleaning and put that crown back on for you. Like, matter of fact. And I was really, really happy.
This had to have happened, like, right after the show, because we got the text from you.
It happened when I texted you guys.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's right after the show. You must have been running to get to the gum.
Let's see. I'm trying to think. Probably a short time afterwards. So
you're lucky they got you in. Dentists are not good about that. They do not like to change topics and appointments and things
like
that.
Your guy doesn't. No. Your guy takes, what does he work, 2 days a week now? Is that what
he
does?
Day and a half, and he had a long lunch on that half
day. Seriously, tell everybody the schedule he has, because it's silly.
I do believe, Mike, it's money. I do believe that he is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday only in his office.
Imagine that.
Long lunches and lots of good-looking employees.
Yeah, and of course, like the medical office, the ultimate pet peeve I have, a medical office where the office will be closed from noon until 1:30 for lunch.
We
can't even answer the phone.
We can't answer the phones because we have to go feed at the trough.
I don't think this staff feeds. I think they might eat daintily.
Oh, you mean, is he still...
Yeah.
Doing that? That was Josh, our dentist that we both shared when I was up in the D.C. area, was really good about staffing it with very, very attractive.
Well, that's why they all take lunch together.
There was one exception of a staffer.
She's no longer there, though, I'm told.
No. I believe she's gone. I don't know if she's dead or alive.
This lady that we're talking about, she will go nameless, liked to pull practical jokes on people. And when she realized that she
I don't
had,
want that at a dentist office.
I don't either.
And, I don't want it anywhere.
And when you have a morning show host that is doing a comedy morning show, or an afternoon drive show.
Right.
Imagine the joy she felt where she could do her practical jokes. I'm talking about like joy buzzer stuff.
Yep.
I don't remember anything else she did, but I
remember
the joy
buzzer.
Oh,
she had lots of things that would electrocute.
Oh, the pen. The pen.
Like the electric pens.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. It was like a dog and pony show. I didn't care for it.
That's how you lost your first crown was that pen. It shocked you so hard and came right out of your mouth.
Now, the good news is, she said, do you have any pain? I said, I have no pain. I think it's been. I think the tooth has been dealt with already. I think it appeared to be.
Yeah,
two things are at work.
The canal doesn't have to be redone.
Yeah, it appears to be based on the color underneath the tooth. It appears to be material that like filler material, like the tooth was practically gone, and they just or either that or my tooth is well, it's terrible. It's embarrassing.
But if you have no
bad
pain,
the tooth looks.
I think that you're probably going to be. I think you're going to be okay here, because
I don't. I think I'll be fine. But I wake up and we have to tape extra early today, and it is.
Is it wacky
nasty
right now? Feeling your mouth missing a tooth.
Not. I mean, you know how your tongue goes to it all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah,
you're
yeah.
constantly like that, and
the little stub's annoying.
It's a little stub.
Because you're worried about them breaking the stub.
There it is. So I just wanted to, I'm not showing you. My Carla took a
so
picture
fast.
Of it. I am not showing it. It's so
ladies
nasty.
And gentlemen, rewind and practice your pause feature.
It is
feature.
So nasty.
I don't even think you can pause
so
fast
flipping
enough
nasty.
For that.
It's embarrassing. And I am going to, when I'm there, he's a cosmetic dentistry guy, so I'm going to talk to him about options
well, that's,
of what I can do because I need
Well, and that's part of the move with the cleaning is let's clean your teeth means let's see if there's anything else in here we can make money off of.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think that's his thing, that's his big forte. They all do that down here.
Oh yeah,
but I mean some of those offices piss me off. You know when they look like cosmetic surgeons.
Oh, yeah, you go in and it looks like you're at Caesar's Palace in Vegas. They've
right.
got columns and statuary
not
and
fun.
All that.
Not fun at all. So the
are you
going to
prepare for it? Like, go, you want to get a meal in before you go. I suggest Oreos and peanut brittle.
No, I'm already ready. I was ready. I was in the shower at 5:30 this morning.
Nice.
I am fully flossed. I am fully teeth brushed.
New pack of gum.
I am scrubbed from head to toe. I'm wearing school clothes.
What are you expecting them to do?
No, I like to go when I fly, when I go to a medical professional. I like to, wear something that, there's so many people. Here's the problem with America. One of the many problems. I am so sick to death of going anywhere where it's a public environment, where you're going to a doctor's office, or you're flying, or you're traveling, and people are essentially dressed in pajamas.
Yeah.
Or dressed so sloppily that they don't know any other way to make themselves presentable. And I get tired of it. And I'm not wearing anything elaborate. I've got a golf shirt and long golf pants on with a nice pair of clean Adidas sneakers on.
Well,
that's what I'm wearing.
And it's all leather.
including the golf shirt.
Especially
yes,
the golf,
of course.
Golf shirt.
Yeah.
All right, let me turn the comments on. I haven't been looking.
Josh, this lady goes into the dentist, and she's really, really uptight.
What do you mean Mike bitched about the vaccine yesterday? Well, what does that mean?
I think regarding the fact that now it's not required, and she or he misinterpreted all the things that you said yesterday. Because what you were bitching about is that you should have the free will to do what you want, and now it's prohibited.
So the person misunderstood
me,
but
yeah.
decided to go, how would that person sound if they were talking and saying, Mike bitched about that? Doesn't matter, we come in early. We're on. Hitting on all eight.
So, Mike, this lady is really nervous about going to the dentist. She really doesn't want to do it. And she's nervous in the waiting room, and they bring her back to the chair. And she sits down, and the doctor says, gosh, you look really, really nervous. She says,
yeah.
I am. I think I'd rather have a baby than get this tooth work done. And he says, well, you have to make a decision so I can adjust the chair.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Vaccine. Vaccine.
You know, we said it earlier.
I saw the Walter Matthau joke edited and put online with an actual old man saying it in a doctor's office, where a guy walks in, how you doing? How are your bowel movements? He said, I had one at 7 o'clock this morning. He said, well, that's good. He said, well, I get up at 9 a.m. wake up at 9 a.m. I still F it up. I F it up every time I tell it.
I thought it was terrific.
So then I wake up
at 9 a.m.
I go back to the sick house. My wife is taking my kid to the doctor's appointment because I don't want to be in a car with the little bubonic plague carrier.
But to be fair, other than the fact that your mouth is shattering, you feel okay. You don't think you've
got any
symptoms.
I feel great. I'm not symptomatic at all. And I would be running to get the Pavlov's dog stuff if I felt any symptoms. And I'm knocking on wood. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm so concerned. I just don't want to get it. But yeah. I don't think it's going to be that big a deal if I get it. I really don't. I think it's this strain is what they say it is. However, protocols are being put. And the protocol essentially is get the F back in your room. If you're home from school and you can't go to school. Now, is he able to go back to school? He could have gone to school 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. He's been fever-free for that long. However, you can tell when a kid is lethargic and he has a headache and he's doing his work at home. And I think for the good of other students, I think it's best to keep him an extra day.
You better keep that opinion to yourself or they're going to kick you right out of that state.
Yeah, because they don't like that.
They don't like it.
RFK Jr. would say you spread natural immunity, right?
Exactly.
And if you die, that's the way it's supposed to be. You're thinning the herd.
But if it doesn't kill you, Mike, it makes you stronger. I think Mr. Liddy said that.
Yes.
But who cares about the other kids? If he's sluggish and dragging, it's better for him to be home doing the work. And Florida does make it easy to do schoolwork at home.
Yeah, well, homeschooling. Which is wonderful. But getting back to being at home, I'm running around dealing with all this and we've already taped a show. And so I don't know what to do with myself. I got to kind of house sit and be here. And I decide I'll pop on, which I never do during the middle of the day. I'll go out to a film if there's something that's running in theaters. I rarely pop one on in the middle of the day at home. I just don't do it.
A motion picture, wow.
Yesterday, I said, okay, I'll put this movie on. And the movie was called Fountain of Youth. I've seen it. It's John Krasinski and it's Natalie Portman.
It's like a National Treasure or Indiana Jones type.
And you have identified now.
Yeah.
It's official. My least favorite kind of movie. I thought it was all action adventure. And then I could categorize many different types of movies that I cannot stand.
Right.
I am not all in on an Adam Sandler movie. They are too stupid for me. I don't think the
Halloween,
jokes.
Yeah.
Perfect for me.
When it comes to, I don't like the Guardian. I don't like superhero movies.
I'm with you there.
Not a fan of those. Might be an age thing. I think that I understand. But when it comes to the all-time solve the puzzle, find the riddle, beat up 30 people, shoot the guy, the least favorite movie, National Treasure, Da Vinci Code, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and then this one, Fountain of Youth.
Fountain of Youth has just left a bad taste in your mouth because Raiders is one of the greatest movies of all time.
It is not to me, and let me tell you why. It is the trivialization of violence. Let me make my point clear here, all right? Please say our kid and not my kid. Our kid?
Yeah.
Is that Scoob, are you saying that because for Carla's sake, she would probably agree with you there. Am I being too narcissistic
I think
by saying
Zoinks, Scoob is saying that he's the father too. Our kid.
Okay. I thought it was just being supportive and it was a pretty good joke, actually, wasn't it?
Well, we turned it into something, didn't we?
That is. So getting back to it, maybe sometimes I just shouldn't turn the comments on because
you were talking about your dislike for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
So here it is. The trivialization of violence.
Uh-huh.
And the puzzle piece, find the secret chamber, that type of crap, that's okay. But then to keep people's, short attention spans moving, it's this gratuitous violence. And I am not averse to violence in film.
I know that.
But in my humble opinion, if you're going to put violence in film, the best kind of violence in movies to me is the kind of violence that makes you abhor violence or that shocks you into, oh, my God, that really happened. I'll give you an example of that. The Scorsese films.
Mm-hmm.
The Scorsese films show you violence in such a way that it appears to be credible, like that's really happening to the person. The violence in A Fountain of Youth is 13 guys being beaten up and shot to death at the same time.
So you don't like the choreography?
I don't like the choreography and the flip way that they handle murder, essentially.
Now, I will say this. I really enjoyed both National Treasure movies based on just how goofy and off the wall Nicolas Cage can be. I like to watch Nicolas Cage, especially in an outlandish
situation. You know what I like Nicolas Cage in? The Long Legs, where he played that horrific character, horror movie.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
That was scary.
But
I like that.
I want to go back to Raiders of the Lost Ark. There is a couple violent things in there that I think you would probably enjoy.
The reaching in and getting the heart?
Nope. That's the second one. I'm talking about the first one. When the bald guy walks into the plane propeller, is pretty nasty.
Yeah, that's nasty. That's
and pretty well done. And also the fact that Nazis' faces melt off when they see the glory of God.
But here's the common thread.
Yeah.
There's always like some schlocky hack line from the hero, where Harrison Ford said, "Well, that's got to leave a mark." That type of crap, I can't stand it.
I don't think that's in Raiders.
I don't remember that.
No. That to me, there's a lack of seriousness, and that I find boring. I just don't find they're not taking it seriously. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
I can support your argument, Mike. There is a part in Raiders of the Lost Ark when Marion asks a question of Indiana Jones, and he says, "I don't know. I'm making this up as I go along."
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's a pretty good line, but that sort of supports what you say.
Right. You know what it is? It's these family movies that you don't like. You want a nice, big, hard R movie if there's going to be violence.
Yeah, with a lot.
You want blood and gore.
You give me a hard R, you know, there's nothing quite like. No, I just like movie. I like true stories. I like my suspense movies to be true stories. I like my horror movies to be true stories. I like all that kind of stuff to be based in reality. Comedy, that's the one area you can go off the rails. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I can enjoy part of a Happy Gilmore. I can enjoy a Dumb and Dumber. But by and large, these movies that are just, it's almost like the actors are having more
fun
than the audience.
What about like a Taken type movie?
Taken is great. I love Taken. Because Taken is kind of a suspense movie. You know, you can make a case for the fact that the violence in Taken is pretty intense. But Taken is a serious movie, right? The plot line is not that your heroes are serious-minded guys, okay? In the Denzel Equalizer movies, Denzel's a serious badass. Mm-hmm. He's had a horrible life. He's brooding. He's not happy. That's what I like in my anti-heroes. Yes.
Okay, what about Nobody? Because Nobody 2 just came to streaming.
Did you watch it yet?
Not yet. It's this weekend, I will.
Oh, is it out this week? It's already out, right? You can see it now.
It's on streaming now, yeah.
I might come back from the dentist and pull up a chair and watch that.
Because the first one was a lot of fun.
I loved the first one.
Loved the first one. But there's a seriousness in that it goes right up to the line.
It's essentially Walking Tall. You push a guy too far, and he comes back at you.
Well, and he's also super deluxe special forces, and nobody knows who he is.
Right.
That's what I love about that. And it's a revenge kind of film, and I enjoy that, too. But there is some, there's lack of credibility in the violence. But at the same time, he's a badass, and I like movies like that, too.
I know that, you've got a sour taste in your mouth today, and it's not just because of The Crown. It's because you watched this movie yesterday.
No, you're the one with a sour taste in mouths.
Even
when my crown pops off, I don't get a sour taste in my
mouth. But my question for you
is a weak movie.
Well, it is, but how much of the weakness do you blame on the movie, and how much do you blame on someone who's becoming more and more annoying to me as days go by, John Krasinski?
John Krasinski is not a superhero.
You know, I've been rewatching a lot of The Office, and he's the problem with the show The Office. He's not just not funny. He's the problem.
Vastly overrated.
Yes.
Married well.
Did very well, yes.
Emily Blunt, a beautiful and talented actress. And, you know, and he's friends with Jimmy Kimmel. And he's got the, I mean, John Krasinski checked all the boxes. Sometimes I think John Krasinski had a plan. You know, do you ever feel that way about Krasinski?
He's right, like box macaroni and cheese. It's easy, convenient, it's all over the place, but you don't really like it.
And not a credible, like, action-adventure guy.
Not a credible anything.
I think he was fine on that Amazon show.
Which is Jack Ryan. He plays Jack Ryan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was fine in there.
Okay, fine.
What about his leather football movie, leather football helmet movie?
With George Clooney?
Yeah.
Okay, we've covered the cinematography of John.
I believe
Krasinski.
He's really very talented.
I appreciate that. That was a real rave on that.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks, daily fantasy made simple. Every day we make decisions, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Now that football season's almost here, I can't wait. I've been already checking out the Prize Picks app. It's the easiest, most fun way to get into the action. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player projections to build your lineup, and then you're ready to go in less than a minute. And let me tell you this, I will always trust Lamar Jackson. If there's a projection on him this season, you know which way I'm leaning. So get on Prize Picks. It keeps it simple and safe too. Fast, secure withdrawals, tons of deposit options like Apple Pay and Venmo, and they've got this thing called injury reboots. If a player goes down in the first half, it doesn't count against you. So get ready for football season. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the code TMOS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Code TMOS to score $50 in lineups after your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
We're all over the place on that one, everybody. Hey, we got news coming up, but first I want to tell you, our program is sponsored by Liquid IV. Rob, now, the other day when I was talking about Liquid IV, have you seen these yet? Have you gotten these little suckers yet? Talked to you about these yet? Do they teach you that here?
What is it?
I don't even know if I'm supposed to be talking about
it. You're allowed to talk about it.
But it's Liquid IV Energy. Energy multiplier, natural caffeine. I had National Treasure in my head. Natural caffeine, electrolytes, vitamins, and amino acids. It's right here. I'm drinking it as we speak. We're taping very early this morning, and I need a little boost.
Owen's doctor told us to start giving him Liquid IV more.
Really?
Seriously?
Because it's supposed to help with kidney stones.
Oh, wow.
So,
I didn't know that. Can you get in touch with the Liquid IV people, Rob, and put this in their next commercial?
Of course.
I think it would be, I really think it's up to us to remind them. They're a big behemoth, right? So, I mean, when you're talking about the orange vanilla dream for 6 months, I think it might be a little bit of a stretch. So let's make sure that we tell everybody all the different things that Liquid IV offers. In this particular case, I had my first one yesterday on the show, and I am absolutely
Did you mention the flavor? I see a strawberry on it.
This is a strawberry kiwi. The one I'm enjoying is blackberry lemonade, and it is
blackberry lemonade.
They're fantastic.
That's my favorite right now.
Yeah. I will tell you, I drink it every day in its different incarnations. By the way, the energy multiplier is sugar free that I'm drinking. It's got 3 times the electrolytes of sports drinks, plus 8 essential vitamins, and it is all the good things: non-GMO, vegan, gluten free, dairy free, and soy free. And I love my sugar-free. If you go now and get your first order of Liquid IV through the Mike O'Mara Show, or you put TMOS as the code, you will score 20% off your order. Grab a stick of it, rip it open, and start sipping. Just 1 stick, 16 ounces of water, hydrates better than water alone. Savor the last bits of summer with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with the code TMOS at checkout. Orange Vanilla Dream, it's the cream of the crop. I haven't tried it yet. I'm looking forward to it. That's 20% off your first order with the code TMOS at liquidiv.com. And we'll have more updates on all the Liquid IV family of products, ladies and gentlemen.
Orange cream, buddy. Krasinski.
Over. Let me sit up. I'm going to get myself in reading position. Hit the whoosh, boys.
Lost a crown.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, crown. There is a huge new trend. Seems like every day there's one.
Yeah.
On social right now, called the Great Lock-In. Anybody familiar? Anyone? Anyone?
No.
Ferris?
No.
I wasn't either. The idea is... Let me see. You commit to making a change now, and you carry it through the end of the year. So this is doing something starting whenever you want to start it, not like New Year's resolutions just right at the first of the year. It's supposed to be a way of fully hyper-focusing on a task, goal, or activity across the final 100-plus days of 2025. Well, now it says maybe then you start now. It doesn't have to be a traditional resolution. It's just meant to be a way to shake off the summer laziness and lock in on success for the next few months. According to Know Your Meme, the original,
you know, isn't that your, so that's your home to, your homepage, isn't it?
Yeah, every day I live check there. The original Great Lock-In post started gaining steam a few weeks ago, and now a ton of people have joined, and joining publicly is just a way of holding yourself accountable. I would say lose
no,
weight.
No, this is millennials redoing New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, on their schedule.
Trying to make it their thing and their weird call name.
Yeah. Yeah. Depending on your reach, it's also a way to get support from followers. Well,
all right, fits I'll do the great lock too. In today.
Yeah. Of course,
I'm not going to drink until January 1st, and then maybe not then either.
Of course, the concept isn't totally new, but you could do it with your soda.
You're right. You know, you're absolutely
When's
right.
When's the last time you had a sugary soda?
Yesterday morning.
Oh, you haven't quit.
No, I haven't. But, Mike, I've probably cut it by 75%, if that's of any value.
And I think your great lock-in could be once a week.
Yeah. I think
instead
that's
of once a day,
that,
once a week.
It doesn't have to be that great.
Yeah.
What day do you think would be your soda day?
Monday, probably. You see, when I get up in the morning, what you feel for coffee, I feel for a Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. That's what I crave in the morning. I like the cold crisp. I love the caffeine doesn't hurt.
Do you think if you ever, because I'll be honest with you, as far as black coffee, and that's the way I drink it black. Black slacks. If I drink a black coffee, it was definitely an acquired taste. Prior to me being a regular coffee drinker, I did not drink it. Now it is just my thing. I mean, when you think of something that bitter, where you can take your first sip and just go, oh, I think
that's also a sign of getting older because your taste buds aren't as vibrant as they once were.
I don't think you have to bring age into it. I just think you acquire the taste for it, and you would like it, okay? You wouldn't need that
syrup. I've had coffee all my life, and it's just not my thing. And it's
how about black coffee?
Yeah, I can drink black coffee, absolutely. Right. But it's just not my thing. I mean, we have a Keurig. I could have coffee in 30 seconds. It's not my thing.
Well, it's healthier.
It is.
Okay, so there's that.
Yeah. But I hear that people that drink coffee, sometimes their teeth dissolve.
Shut up. The new...
The oh, new this just NFL said Governor Newsom is requiring everyone to drink a gallon of coffee.
There you go. The DeSantis.
Oh, who did I say?
Oh, you said Newsom. Well, that'd be healthy. So,
okay, yeah. Okay, take it back.
The new NFL season kicks off tonight with the Super Bowl. Great game to start.
That's
this
fun.
Is where the NFL wins. This is where the NFL just has its act together. Well, you know, there's so many people that are into this game. Eagles hosting the Cowboys. I mean, you couldn't get better than this. The team that sucked against the big championship, Eagles, and we'll see what happens. You know, the Cowboys.
You could put someone other than Cowboys.
What's that?
You could put someone other than Cowboys in there.
Well, I'm an NFC East guy, Josh. I know you're a Ravens guy.
Cowboys are not America's team.
No.
And they want to keep telling us that.
I don't know. I think they are America's team.
But you know what? As a Giants fan, I'm just like, going to watch them and beat each other's brains out. That's what I'm looking
forward to. Yeah, you can't lose, can you?
48%. You're going to like this story a lot, Rob Spivak.
Great.
48% of Americans follow football, at least a little bit.
Uh-huh.
That's almost 20 points higher than second place. Here are the 10 sports they asked about and how many of us pay attention. Football, 48%.
Number one.
Baseball, 29%.
All right.
Basketball, also 29%. Ice hockey goes all the way down to 12%. That gives me a sad.
I think that, but this is probably a national survey, and I think hockey towns are way into their hockey. But if you get out of the towns, it's not a great television sport. You have to admit.
Soccer also at 12%. Golf at 11%.
I'd put golf higher.
Auto racing 10%. Tennis 9%. MMA 8%. Wrestling, the fake kind or the no, that's, it's the fake kind. Yeah, 8%.
WWE.
And wrestling has the most haters of any sport on the list. A third of Americans, here we go, Rob Spivak, 32% say they don't follow any of those 10 sports. And that's you, my friend. There it is.
Well,
what percent is still boycotting?
Yeah, the boycott is different. Mm-hmm. I do follow. I mean, I look at the scores and I see who's winning and who's not. I don't have my Sunday dictated by it.
Following is rooting for a team.
Okay.
No. That sheet said a mild interest in that 48%. So unfortunately, Rob's in the 48%.
It might have been set up
to help the NFL numbers look better.
Well, that's everything is set up to help the NFL.
Well, they control the world.
They do. Remember when they put the movie out about concussions that went away?
Well, I'm excited for the announcement that they'll have the Super Bowl on the White House lawn.
If they bring the Super Bowl anywhere near to Washington, D.C., I'm moving down to Florida with you guys.
That's the whole point of your new stadium.
Yay, everybody.
I do not want it.
If you win a huge jackpot or sweepstakes like $1.7 billion Powerball, you usually have the option of accepting it as a regular payment over time or a smaller lump sum right away. Mm-hmm. And here's another case for the lump sum. I think there are a lot more cases for the lump sum than taking it over
time. I think most
time.
Accountants say take the lump sum. Yeah.
Oh, so no one won last night?
I guess not.
So 1.7. It's now up to 1.7.
Oh, I meant to tell you guys. I won.
There's a story. Could there be any worse place to tell people than right here? Right? I mean, in an unknown, under the radar podcast that people, and then it would explode, and suddenly our mugs would be everywhere.
We had to record earlier today because I've got to get a tooth fixed and go to the lottery office and collect my $1.6 billion.
It'd be like having Taylor Swift on the show.
Exactly.
All right, here's another case for the lump sum. There's a story making the rounds online about a man in Oregon who won a Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes back in 2012, which pays him $5,000 a week forever.
A week? Wow, that's good.
Technically, they paid it as $260K a year, but this year the check never came, and apparently it never will. This past April, Publishers Clearinghouse filed for bankruptcy, and at least 10 former winners of forever prizes will no longer get their payments. The exact number of winners impacted wasn't reported. Now, you might think, well, that sucks, but at least they got some free money throughout the years. But this guy says he's having a hard time finding a job because he's been out of work for so long. He also thinks he's going to lose his home, which he purchased expecting all those payments to continue. And he says he thought he'd be able to have money and leave some to his children someday. Now there's nothing for them.
I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
You can't blame him.
Another winner in his position said, "You promised to change people's lives, and now you messed it up." Some winners did receive all their money. Those who opted for the lump sum rather than forever payments, it's unclear if every prize winner had the option for the lump sum. A company bought Publishers Clearinghouse out of bankruptcy, and they'll continue running new contests, but they're only paying future winners.
I can't wait to try one of the new contests. It's so sad. You know, you want to blame him for blowing through the money, but if he could have counted on that, that is actually a sensible way to run your life for the rest of your
life. Wouldn't you think legally when they buy Publishers Clearinghouse,
they'd have to honor it,
honoring their obligations?
But they didn't buy the business. I bet they only bought the name.
The name. The Could winners under a previous business are being left out in the cold. So sad. So sad.
Now, with the Powerball, though, that's ran by the state or something, right?
Run by the state. Yes, that is run by the state, and you can take a lump sum with the Powerball.
But it's a conglomerate of states, isn't it? It's several states together.
Like a radio contest?
Yeah, man.
It is.
By the way, radio contest, the bigger the prize now, you're usually having the same contest on hundreds of radio stations.
Yeah, it's a part of the radio group called I Heart Cheating.
Yeah, there was a day I worked in radio when we gave away the big prize ourselves.
Cars
trips to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Trips to see Dallas and the Redskins. Trips to the Prince's Trust concert in London. All given away by one radio station. That I was so blessed to be at the tail end of that and to get that opportunity to work at a powerhouse radio station that had those kind of contests. It was super cool.
Even at a small station, didn't you give away a motorcycle?
We gave away for the release of Electric Avenue by Eddie Grant, we gave away a motorbike.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? Even if I won the motorbike, I still wouldn't forgive you for that record.
Didn't like it.
No. Edward Grant.
But I did add a Whitney Houston song. I think it was I Will Always Love You. I think. No, it was another one.
The first
greatest
one?
Love of all.
Okay. Is that her first, I think?
I don't know. You'd have to check her thing. You know Denzel Washington? No, you don't. Because you've been saying his name wrong all these years. It's not Denzel. It's Denzel. You emphasize the first
Washington.
Syllable.
No, I hate this story already. If you go this long in your life without telling people the correct way of saying your name, you're wrong.
Maybe he did and we didn't pay attention. You're supposed to emphasize the den and then say zl.
Denzel. Like pretzel.
So if you want to know how to capture that pronunciation, say the den and then the zl part like you're going to throw up. So it'll be like this. Hi, Denzel.
I bet he gets that a lot.
It's really not your fault, though. It was actually Denzel's mother who started calling him Denzel. That's because he and his father were both named Denzel, and she got tired of both of them answering when she called that name, so she changed the pronunciation of her son's name. Denzel!
I remember his mom. Her name was Karen.
And what movie is he promoting now?
Precisely, Josh.
Probably out there. But hey, that's my man.
You know what?
That is my man. Do not put down Denzel Washington.
The Orioles used to have a player called Zach Britton. Z-A-C-H. Zach Britton.
Wasn't he a pitcher?
Yeah. When he left and went to the Yankees, he then informed everyone that his entire life, Zach was spelled with a K, not an H. And he just was afraid to tell anyone at the Orioles.
Like it was like a paperwork error?
Yes.
God, what that's weird. Idiot. Why wouldn't you say anything?
I don't know. He never corrected it till he went to a new
probably
team.
One of the quiet kind of athletes, yes. Right?
Well, his contract was $5,000 a week for the rest of his life.
Yes, sir. Congratulations on that one. Is violence, we were talking about it a moment ago. That's weird. I guess it was on my mind.
Yeah.
Is violence in superhero movies pornography or pornographic? Stephen King thinks so. Here's the quote. If you look at these superhero movies, you'll see some supervillain who's destroying whole city blocks, but you never see any blood. And man, that's wrong. It's almost like pornographic. So when it came to adapting Stephen King's 79 novel, The Long Walk, he had only one condition, that it would show the violence of teenagers being shot. Quote, he said, if you're not going to show it, don't bother. And so they made a pretty brutal movie. The Long Walk is about 100 young men who enter a contest where they have to walk as far as they can while maintaining a speed of at least 3 miles per hour. That's a super fast walk. I've been on a treadmill. I know
that. That's not easy.
Or they die. The contest ends only when one walker remains. It hits theaters next Friday. And is it a short story or no, it's a novel. Did either one of you ever read The Long Walk by Stephen King?
I know that in the book, it is 4 miles per hour. And he told the movie people to change it to 3 because he realized 4 was too fast.
Is really fast.
And they're doing a promotion for rolling that movie out where they've removed theater seats and put in treadmills. And you have to walk the 3 miles per hour the entire movie. If you stop, you get kicked out mid-movie.
That is awesome. That is a great promotion. I think that, why are you shaking your head? Come on now, it's fun.
Because I wouldn't get past the trailers.
Okay, that's you. I get it. Finally today, ladies and gentlemen, a new survey has found that 1 in 8 Americans are overthinkers. And the average person second guesses 41% of their daily decisions. And get this, the survey found that the average person makes about 50 decisions in a day, which is roughly 1.5 million choices made in a lifetime. Ladies and gentlemen, I am blessed with not being an overthinker, and I work with two guys that are not overthinkers. And when we do a schedule change, how quickly are we able to do that with each other? It's bing, bang, boom. And yeah. I love it. Nobody's out there like noodling through 20 different things, right?
Are any of us married to overthinkers?
No.
I am.
I'm not.
Oh, my God, I am.
She's very decisive. Carla's extremely decisive.
I have an overthinker.
Yeah.
Your wife is an accountant, yes. So she's analytical, and she takes a look at things from every different side. I make it's my job to make decisions.
Yeah.
That's what I do every single day. 27% of people admit they're regularly stressed over simple decisions. Now, Rob, I know you talk about being passive, but are you stressed over regular life decisions?
No.
Do you struggle with it at all?
No. And
I didn't think so.
I'm excellent at compartmentalizing, whereas once a decision is made, I move on. But Carrie will look back and try and figure out if we did the right thing. Or, you know what? It's really bad is watching Carrie at a restaurant she doesn't know and trying to figure out how to order. And oftentimes I will order for her because I know what she's going to like, and I'm a better eater than most people. Mm-hmm. But she does struggle with menus and things like that, because I don't know if it's the fact that she's indecisive or she doesn't want to miss out on something. But either way, it takes a while.
So this number, 27%, saying people are stressed out over simple decisions like stuff in the grocery store to buy, that kind of crap. The average person, I could not believe this. The average person spends 4 minutes deliberating each item at the grocery store.
No. Those are dumb
people.
That
person has a problem.
Yeah.
I will tell you what categories I will spend a length of time. One would be beef. I will stare, and if you ever want to have a really good experience, go look at the senior citizens in the beef counter.
Uh-huh.
You know, Jesus Christ, looking at it like it's going to, you know, put a show on for them. You know,
there's one steak in there that's better.
Come on, yeah. What was that, Rob? I'm sorry.
There's one steak in there that's the best, and they want it.
Jesus. Most couples have one person who spends 8 minutes contemplating, while the other spends zero. I'd have to ask Carla how long she takes to. I think we go in and we get our stuff. But these are weird stats that people take that
I
long.
Contemplate sometimes laying on a train track.
Good for you. Congratulations with that. Coming up on the show, I haven't decided what we're going to do yet. I don't know. I got no idea. I can't decide. Yes, I can. I already know what we're going to be doing, but I'm not going to tell you.
Not you.
So, yeah, sure you are. Do you want to make your flies fly away? You want to make your fleas flee? You want to make your praying mantises say amen? If you got bugs, you need Pesty. Pesty, do-it-yourself pest control people. Their kit makes it so easy. Hey, man, where's my kit?
Man, I got mantises all over Graceland. I need my kit.
Oh, pesky mantises. Yeah, they make love and kill the one they make love with. It only takes a few minutes to apply. Other pest control companies charge over $800 per year, but with Pesty, you can get started at just $35 per treatment with a customized plan based on your location, based on your bugs and your climate. The kit includes a reusable electronic sprayer, mixing bag, pesticide, gloves, and instructions. You follow them, and you can complete your application around your house in less than 10 minutes. Rob Spiewak did it in 8.
I did it in 8, and it's really fine.
Pesty gets rid of over 100 types of
types?
Bugs. Plus, Pesty is kid and pet friendly. This is Elvis Presley from Pesty. The pesticides they ship have been used in hospitals and schools all over the country.
Jack?
That means it kills ants. I had ants. They got sick in the hospital. But your uncles stay alive. Best of all, Pesty offers a 100% bug-free guarantee, man. Or your money back. My boy.
Jack?
Seriously, no questions asked. Pesty, the bestie. Now's the time to protect your home, Jack, from bugs with Pesty. Go to pesty.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off your order. That's PESTIE.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off.
You know where the bugs went wrong, Mike? They named the night.
They named the night. That was her problem. Ladies and gentlemen, I am here to tell you we have a major announcement on the show.
Oh, good.
This one threw me for a loop, and Rob Spiewak, I don't think you've even heard this yet.
Okay.
This, to me, is about our boy Josh Soroka.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, next to being the consonant dropper, what would his next identity be on the show? What is he identified with more than anything else?
Orioles baseball.
Go ahead, Josh. Lay it on him.
We are not renewing our season ticket plans. After over 25 years and keeping it through moving to Florida and everyone moving out of state, we have been flying back to go to games, and we are not renewing for 2026.
That's very sad to me.
And it's not sad, it's anger. Because it's not about that the team sucks this year.
Okay.
It's about the way the organization is treating their season ticket holders.
And what's the problem? Tell us what the problem is.
They told us we've fluctuated between 13 plans, 25 plans over the years.
That's the number of games, right?
Yeah, number of games per year. We've been at it, like I said, over 25 years. We've had these same exact seats in the stadium in Section 336. And this year they have taken it to require that our 13 plan is required to purchase 20 games instead of 13. So that adds more money. They have increased ticket prices 3.5%, which adds more money. But the money's not even the big deal. They're also moving us from row 4 back to row 15 if we want to be in our same section. And they don't care. And then they've changed some of the limitations on playoff games and opening day.
But all this wouldn't matter if they had a decent product on the field, right?
Yeah, exactly. The problem also, you're right. It caps it off on the fact that it's a losing season. And when they're doing this, after
that's not the time to do it. Look at the optics.
They're announcing this after the Orioles had a 22% decrease in attendance this year.
Yeah, because they suck. And that's what happens when a team is playing bad baseball.
We get praised all the time about how low our season ticket number is because we've been with them for so long
that
we went through a lot of crap. But they don't care. They have no care if you bought your season tickets yesterday or if you've been at it for over 25 years.
I can't believe they're actually, if you were to honor their ridiculous increases, that they wouldn't even put you in the same seats.
Nope. Way worse seats.
You getting a Snyder vibe on this, Rob? I am.
Absolutely.
You know? Personally, I think what happened is all the projections said that 2025, they would win the World Series. And I think they started their financial projections 5 years ago saying we're going to do all these increases at the end of the 2025 season because people will pay whatever we want to charge because we're World Series winners. And then they suck and it's already in motion.
You know, the elusive nature.
Sent a nice letter to them yesterday pointing out that through our season tickets, we've seen more losses than wins.
Right.
That we have a 450 winning percentage through our 25 years.
Let me ask you this question about this. Do you think that there are people in positions of relevance within the organization where a letter like that would in any way land, in any way, where you would get a response?
It's got to find its way to Brooks Robinson.
Well, he has passed.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's easier to get it to him.
Would Boog read the letter?
Boog
Powell? Excuse me. Boog Powell.
We will we'll see. That letter goes to our season ticket rep, who we've had the same rep for all 25 years. Our rep is in a video this week because they're celebrating 30 years of since Cal broke the record.
That's and right.
He was working then. He was in charge of shooting confetti out, I saw, during 21-31.
Do you think Don Buford...
He wasn't the hose guy.
Do you think Don Buford would look at one of those? Or maybe they'd show it to Paul Blair?
Freddie Lynn?
He was there for a while. Way to get the Red Sox guy that was only there for a cup of coffee.
He was there for a little bit, yeah.
That's incredible. Do you think Doug DeSensei would would look at this at all?
I think I could get it to Cal.
Cal? Boy, Cal, that would be a big one.
But the problem is also, we've got, you know what, I've got a, where is it?
You know who you send that letter to? Bobby effing Gritch. Bobby Gritch.
I think part of the frustration is we got this new owner last year that came in, and he was supposed to be the guy who came on as an Orioles fan.
Yeah, and he was replacing the Angelos family that ran into the ground, yeah.
And I think this all started at the beginning of the season, when the very first bobblehead giveaway of the Orioles season was of the owner.
Oh.
That's how they started the season.
Oh, that's bad.
So I think maybe that's not a bad look.
Can we see that doll again?
It
looks like Colonel Sanders bought the team.
Pale. Is he very pale?
I don't know. I've never met him.
Okay. But you see pictures of him, right?
Yeah, he's on CNBC all the time.
What's his name?
Dave Rubenstein?
Yeah. Okay.
Or right. Steen.
Are you going to change? Are you going to change the name of your podcast?
No, we will not.
Are you going to say change? Because what's it called right now? It's
Section 336.
All right, here's the thing. Section Home.
Well, I'm still going to go back two games. I'm still going to sit in section 336 when I go back. Mm. So that'll still happen. I'm just disappointed that I have to give up the season tickets because the front office is such a mess.
How's your pop and how your brother feel about it?
Lots of angry texts and phone calls last night as we made this decision.
Oh, but I mean, not at each other, right?
Not at each other. No, all three of us are all angry at the Orioles.
United front. F you, Orioles.
I tried to convince them, hey, let's fly up this weekend and hold some signs up, but no movement.
Within the stadium?
Yes.
Okay. Did your brother say he could cancel better than you could cancel?
Is there a little rivalry there, Rob?
Yes, a lot.
All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope things change for the better. There's always next year, but obviously the Soroka family is not going to be, you know, have the same presence in that stadium that they had before. Right. So coming up, we've got a Leesburg spy report along with a salute to an American retailer that I rarely do, but I'm looking forward to it. Good. But first, I want to tell you, are you having trouble shutting your brain off at night? Souls Out of Office gummies are your ticket to calm, helping you relax, quiet the noise, and drift off naturally with the perfect mix of CBD and THC. They deliver a smooth buzz that melts stress, lifts your mood, and sparks creativity. Choose your vibe from a light 1.5 milligram microdose to the bold new 15 milligram gummy when you want fully unplugged life. Prefer sipping? Try the new out-of-office beverage, a refreshing alcohol-free way to unwind solo or with friends. And when it's deep restorative sleep you're after, Souls Sleep Gummies have you covered. Every product is hemp-derived, delicious, and crafted with wellness in mind so you can actually feel good about feeling good. Bring the good vibes and treat yourself to Soul today. Right now, Soul offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off. How many gummies have you had before the show today, Rob?
I've had 8 of the 15s and 2 of the sodas, so it's coming on.
Absolutely. It's just going to peak in about 10 minutes.
That's right.
That's when it's going to get. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Before I get to Rob's Leesburg spy report, which is always, you know, it's neighborly. That's why we do it.
Well,
it's
there's a neighborly something factor. There's something this week that I think is going to really pique your interest.
Like to send a shout out to the good people at Guitar Center. Had a little module problem with my Simmons drums.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah, you needed the
Mark, the manager at Guitar Center. You know, when a guy calls, you know, in the evening when he's obviously either at home or on his way home to give you an update on something that is good news, I give them double thumbs up.
That's
that they
awesome.
Took care of a problem I had. They did it the right way.
Did he ask to speak to Michael to make sure he was the one that plugged it in wrong?
No, didn't speak to anybody. He said, sometimes because if you're just out of warranty, which I was, they will make it right. And they're going to make it right for me. And I'm very, very pleased because I want to get back into, you know, drumming and doing my my skill set. And, you know, it's fun. And it's stress relieving as well. And we got it out of storage.
Are you going to put the drums in your studio or where are they going to go?
They're going to go in the driveway.
Oh, good. Well, the neighbors will like that.
Well, I've got a lean-to that I'm constructing out of plywood and 2x4s.
Oh, I believe we've already discussed its bedside, right?
Yes, bedside. It's exactly where it is.
Oh, Mike, in, Governor DeSantis now requiring lean-tos on all houses in Florida.
I will tell you this, that when it is when it comes into the home and I get everything properly tuned and ready to go and get a little practice under my belt, I will post an elaborate drumming video, ladies and gentlemen.
A clinic or like a show-off video?
I go to clinics. You know the line? You know the line from Tommy Newsom?
Yes,
all right, let's get to the Leesburg spy report.
Oh, this is exciting, Mike. And I don't feel like I need to change names because this stuff is all posted in the public register. This is from the Nextdoor app. And I think most neighborhoods have it. And it allows you to keep in touch with your neighbors. I like to go in and mess with people.
Yeah.
But sometimes I catch an ad that is, it just surprises me. Mm-hmm. And today our focus begins with a guy named Joseph Smith. And he writes...
Sure that's a real name?
I'm not at all. He writes, this is the first...
Is he writing to Pocahontas?
this is his post, the first one, and it simply reads this. No edits, just one sentence. I have an extra ticket to Thailand in February. Anyone want to go? Yeah. And I thought, that's kind of weird.
But I'm sure you got to go.
I think, no, I don't. I do not have to go. And I'm starting to think, you know, maybe he bought an extra ticket, maybe a death in the family. You know, it could be very innocent. Who knows?
No, but so, I mean, here's the thing. The problem with that, the problems are multifold.
Yes.
First of all, Thailand.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about Thailand on this show for years and years.
Yeah.
With all that hinky, pervy sex stuff that goes.
Angry Mailman used
to go there. And all these other sex tours where people go over there because they're kinky, dirty old men. And by the way, I see videos occasionally where they will show streets of Ho Chi Minh City, those streets of the former Saigon, streets of Bangkok, and you'll see, you know, in Thailand, you see kind of these weirdos that are, you know, walking along the street. It's pretty obvious what they're doing over there. And, you know, so, I mean, that idea, I immediately think of it.
I do, too.
Stranger danger. Stranger danger.
But I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt until he posted later. He writes, college weightlifter wanted. Help around the house.
Ew.
Then he writes.
What do you mean, college weightlifter?
Mike, then he writes. Very strong college student needed, one, to help me move some things around like a heavy fish tank, few hours a week.
That is so creep laden.
Then he writes, this is a good, now he mixes it up a little bit, and apparently he's got himself.
Strong, muscular, oiled college student, wanted.
Right? Apparently he's got himself a significant other because he says, $11 for a piece of cheesecake. Cheesecake factory prices sure have gone up. Food not just good, not exceptional. $100 for two people, good, not great. But then he follows up with...
Well, he probably took one of his college buddies over there.
Well, I don't know, because after that he writes, attention college athletes, first massage is introductory and free.
It almost sounds like a bit.
It does. It really, really does.
It almost sounds like a bit. First massage is introductory and free.
Yeah, and then he puts it in parentheses, like, oh, free? Sure, I'll be there. But don't know. Just understand, if you go there and you're moving his fish tank, he's going to want to massage you.
Is this a local from the neighborhood? Is this a guy that's in your backyard?
Mike, Broadlands.
Well, go get that introductory massage.
Yeah, and then I'll go to Thailand.
You know, you're strong enough to move a fish tank. Go over there and get yourself a, you know, a little massage.
What I'll do is I'll move the water first, and then it'll be lighter.
Good man. Good. Thank you. Wonderful.
Anyway,
nice
so beware job. What you answer when you do those ads. I think he's out there to help people. Doesn't
muscular
like Cheesecake Factory, though.
Weightlifter college student.
First massage is free. Who's going to Thailand?
Hey, and if it's legit, it's interesting. Ho, ho, ho. We got that beautiful video coming up. But first, the holidays are coming. What?
Mike.
It's September.
No, but Mike, we're around the corner from October, and that's when they start. But also, I want you to know.
Hobby Lobby's got it all out.
I saved you at least one read because Carla also sent a song she wants you to sing.
Oh,
for
no.
For Derm Glow.
Okay.
So
all
look
right.
Forward to that next week, folks.
Okay. Ho, ho, ho. The holidays are coming. Are you ready? Imagine walking into every holiday party feeling in control, looking great, and already down mass poundage. Sound nice? Well, listen to what I have to say right now. DermGlow Skin has GLP-1/GIP on sale from now through October 3rd. This is your chance to feel confident before the holidays hit. And don't forget, DermGlow Skin ships skincare fast nationwide, and we've got peptides for energy, skin tightening, focus, and more, too. Visit DermGlowSkin.com today, because feeling good and glowing is the best gift you can give yourself this season. Halloween is right around the corner, and we want you to look great in your sexy nurse costume. Are you ready to change your body and your mindset? Let's go to DermGlowSkin.com.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry
bubbling
time.
Over.
77 WABC.
And fun is the best thing to have.
Sure is.
I understand while I was gone, you were talking about Labubus.
Labubus, yeah, because Josh has a 12-year-old. I've got a 12-year-old, and Labubus are a big deal.
I thought it would be nice to start today's magic video with audio of a parody record. Do you have your ordinance, Mike?
Oh, God damn it. You got to give me warnings.
Okay, well, tell me when you're ready to go.
I just got to get the
game. I know you're busy with the crown.
Unleash the cannon. All right. All right, I'm ready. I'm ready for you.
This is a song parody called I Bought a Fake Labubu.
I thought I bought a Labubu.
Quick on that.
I want America to know it takes
more. Start it again. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It takes more time to download it than it does to destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much I love
it. Start it again.
I thought I bought a Labubu.
Okay.
One more time. Can I hear it one more
time? Yeah, of course,
please?
Mike.
I enjoy this exercise.
The thing about music is that it's great when you share it.
I thought I bought a Labubu.
Thank you.
It takes multiple times to grow on you.
It does.
It does. Oh.
Wow.
Oh. I think that surprised everybody. Yes. Oh. Mike, if you are guilty of credit card fraud, be on the lookout for cops. They'll get you anywhere.
No.
Like, you could be in a mud bath wearing a Speedo, and they could come and find you.
A nearly naked man running from officers in Idaho Springs. Police say they were following up on a credit card fraud case Tuesday. Officers approached 33-year-old Alec Bogus at the Indian Hot Springs and told him to get out of the mud bath.
Where the hell is he?
Get out and then started running.
White male covered in mud and underwear.
Idaho Springs police say both.
Mike, the quote, if you missed it, he's covered in mud and underwear. Yeah. Let's hear that again.
And underwear.
He does not appear to need
Bogus also had a felony warrant for assault out of Douglas County. You saw him there run into the woods. Officers used a drone.
It said some sign there. Said, please exit. I don't know
emergency
what
emergency exit only, I think.
Is that what they said? Oh, there he goes.
When he ran into the woods, I imagine that's where he lives. So,
well, he probably, you know, that saved the proprietor a little money there and a little fraud defrauding because he probably wasn't paying for the mud bath.
Yeah, but he took the mud with him.
And he's got to clean up the footprints.
And he left with a precipitous amount of mud on his body. He will be billed for the mud.
Isn't fun the best thing to have? Sorry about that.
I bought a fake Labubu.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Mike, when you call the police, you want them to help you out. You don't want them to be inebriated.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Check it out.
Mergen, who has these new developments.
The couple I spoke with today described the interaction with the officer allegedly under the influence as one of the most bizarre things they have ever seen.
Everything looks clear.
Okay.
Nothing looks disturbed.
Uh-huh.
He was just standing in the street staring at us, watching me talk on the phone.
On August 23rd, a Wallbridge couple returned home from a night out. They noticed that their truck door was wide open. The couple, who asked us to identify them as Mr. Brand and Mrs. Lewis, feared that they had been robbed or someone could have been in their home, so they called police. Officer Michael Irvin with the Village of Wallbridge
just standing there.
Responded, and the couple could immediately tell something was wrong.
He was noticeably intoxicated.
He appeared to be staggering and stumbling as he was walking up to us.
We called back to dispatch and expressed our concerns.
The couple says they saw Irvin fall while heading towards their home. They say he struggled to stay on.
You know, here's the thing. But we're local news, and we're going to blabber all over it as opposed to having any real actuality. When we can go, hey, the whole time. Come on.
Mike, have you ever, you love ChatGPT. God, you love it.
Every day I use it. I use it before I get out of bed.
Didn't you use it to fix your tooth?
Myself.
Yes, exactly. That you can eat. Don't ask ChatGPT to count to a million.
Count to 1 million right now.
Well, I can definitely count in spirit, but it might take a little longer than either.
Do not be difficult. Count to 1 million.
Is it Teddy
right
KGB?
Now.
Sounds like it.
I hear you. And I promise I'm not trying to be difficult.
It sounds like you're trying to be difficult because I'm simply asking you to count to 1 million. So enough chattering. This is not Chatterbox GPT. Count to 1 million. The floor is yours.
All right. I hear you loud and clear. I know you just want that counting. But the truth is, counting all the way to 1 million would literally take days.
That's fine. That is fine. I am unemployed.
That's the big shock.
This
there.
Guy's fun.
Yeah, the big shock is that he's unemployed.
And in my kitchen, I will make you count whenever the F I please.
We close today with another classic. This is from a year ago, but exactly a year ago. That's why it was trending. I don't think we had this. Listen to the CB chatter, I guess that's, or radio chatter, about cops trying to apprehend an escaped turkey.
333, go ahead.
I've got a turkey attacking my cruiser.
3301 to 333, please take video.
10-4, he has no fear.
333,
he has no fear.
Yeah.
I am on Evergreen at Hay Meadow in Grand Chute.
Or do you need backup units?
I don't know what they're going to do. 333, fine. Like, I tried to use my siren to scare him out of the road so he wouldn't get struck, and I think he took it as a challenge.
10-4.
Is he playing chicken with you? Yeah, 10-40 is good. I'm trying to de-escalate. Currently negotiating. He is pecking at my tire.
10-43, fine. Like, I'm currently in a foot pursuit. Eastbound. Male. About 2 feet tall. Short beard. 10-4. 33, do you have a clothing description?
Mostly brown. Some red and white trim.
358, final life. Does 333 need a 33 response?
333, do you need backup emergent for the turkey attack?
333, final life. 1045.
Units on scene at the turkey attack. Data check.
333, final life. We're 10-2. If you're holding the towers for us, you can clear them. The citizens of the neighborhood have been advised to keep an eye out
for the suspects.
But I like that.
I do too. I like that they're laughing during it.
Yeah, and then they all went out and got drunk and went on to some other calls after that. That's the way cops do it.
Exactly right.
Chasing turkeys, drinking whiskey. It's a fun thing. Listen, we got to get out of here. We've got a great bonus show for you tomorrow. So make sure if you have not subscribed, do so. Share the episode. Smash that like button. And go to MikeOMaraShow.com. We would sincerely appreciate it. Thank you for your comments all week long. Thank you for the chats and the super chats and all of that great stuff you do for the Mike O'Mara Show. For Josh Taroka and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
I will see you in Thailand.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
So what do I'm going to do, drop my pants and fire a rocket? What do I do?
I count!